Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q2 and FY25 earnings conference call of All Cargo Terminals Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations the company has on the date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We are pleased to have with us the management team represented by Suresh Kumar R, Managing Director, Mr. Preetham Vartak, CFO, and Mr. Sanjay Punjabi, Investor Relations for All Cargo Terminals Limited. We will have opening remarks from the management, followed by a question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. This is Suresh. Wishing you all a happy Diwali in advance as I begin the Q2 conference call. We are here to discuss the company's quarterly performance. As mentioned, along with me, I have Preetham Vartak, who is the Chief Financial Officer for All Cargo Terminals Limited, and Sanjay Punjabi from our Investor Relations team. We have uploaded the results, the press release, and presentation on the stock exchanges and company's website. I hope you have had an opportunity to go through the same. I will share an overview of the economy, industry, and business, after which I will hand over the call to Preetham to discuss the financial performance for Q2 FY25. The Indian economy continues to show resilience. It is one of the fastest-growing economies globally. The IMF, in its most recent World Economic Outlook update, has maintained its projections for India. It expects India to grow at 7% in financial year 2025 and 6.5% in financial year 2026. The outlook for India's GDP growth has moderated from 8.2% in FY23 and 7% in FY2024. In contrast, the IMF has projected global growth to be at 3.2% in 2024 and 2025. Now, coming to the global ocean trade, it has witnessed decent demand during the first half of financial 2024. Buoyancy in demand was witnessed on account of the festival season stocking. The freight rates have remained high as compared to last year. This was due to a combination of increased demand and disruption of trade routes due to geopolitical events. This demand was seen tapering off towards the end of September 2024 on account of the China Golden Week. The United Nations Trade and Development Agency, in its annual report, has projected that global maritime trade to grow by 2% in 2024 and for the period 2025-2029, which is the four- to five-year period, projected to grow at an average of 2.4%. Throwing some light on merchandise trade during the first half of financial year 2024, exports during this period were $213 billion as compared to $211 billion during the same period previous year. Imports during April-September 2024 were $350 billion compared to $330 billion during the previous year. The trade deficit during April-September 2024 was $137 billion compared to $119 billion during the last year. Coming closer to All Cargo Terminals, we have delivered a volume of 318,000 TEUs for the half-year ended September 2024. This represents a growth of 4% as compared to the same period last year. During the current financial year, ATL has embarked on its plans to increase capacities in the key markets of Nhava Sheva, JNPT, Chennai, and Mundra. The company also plans to expand its ICD footprint and participate in the growing multimodal logistics park segment by utilizing the Government of India initiatives in the logistics sector. Furthermore, All Cargo Terminals has acquired 7.6% stake in Haryana Orbital Rail Corporation from All Cargo Logistics. This stake purchase is in line with the company's growth aspirations of entering into multimodal logistics parks and ICDs. I will now hand over the call to Preetham to give you a summary of the financials for Q1 and FY25. Q2 and FY25.
Thank you, Suresh, and good afternoon to everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings call. I will take you through the highlights of the financial results. I will start with the quarterly highlights. Total volume handled for Q2 FY25 stood at 158,000 TEUs as compared to 159,000 TEUs during Q1 FY25 and 156,000 TEUs during Q2 FY24. Revenue for Q2 FY25 stood at 195 crores as compared to representing a growth of over 3% last quarter and 5% over same period last year. EBITDA excluding other income for Q2 FY25 stood at rupees 32 crores as against rupees 30 crores for Q1 FY25 and rupees 32 crore for Q2 FY24. Better yields and operating efficiencies have enabled an EBITDA per TU of over rupees 2000 and a 19% growth in PAT over last quarter. For Q2 FY25, the company reported a net profit of rupees 11 crore. Coming to half year, for the half year ended September 24, company reported a volume growth of 4%. Revenue stood at 385 crore as compared to rupees 366 crore during the same period last year. EBITDA for the same period stood at 62 crore as compared to 61 crores. Net profit for Q2 FY25 stood at rupees 21 crores as against same period last year. With this, we would like to open the floor for question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Viral Shah from Adinath Tax Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Very good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Sir, actually, this is my first time that I am joining the conference call. So may my voice or may my tone, please regret me if I made any mistake. Sir, I have a few questions regarding company. My first question is, what is the current status for future planned operation capabilities extension? And when we assume that they are fully started working, like our four future plan extensions, one of them is Jhajjar for ICD PFT facilities. And second, we have purchased land from Mundra for 60 acres, at Mumbai 25 acres for extensions. And at Chennai, we are going to express census facilities. So, sir, what are the benefits from this extension and when we accept they are working with fully capacity, sir?
Thank you, Viralji, for your question. There are multiple points that you've asked. In terms of our future plans, all the things that you mentioned fit in with our strategic plans to expand capacity. Currently, our capacity is around 8.5 lakh TEUs annually, and we run at about 85 to 90% capacity utilization. When we look at our 3-year growth horizon, we would like ATL to transform from being a CFS heavy player to a CFS and ICD player across the country. As you know, currently we have 7 facilities, 6 of them are CFSs and 1 ICD in Dadri. We, together with these facilities, are in ports which cater to about 80% of India's EXIM trade. JNPT, Navasheva, Mundra and Chennai are markets which are rapidly growing. Chennai has a second cluster of ports in Ennore and Kattupalli, adding to the earlier port, which was the Chennai port. Similarly, in JNPT, volumes have been expanding. Mundra also, volumes have been expanding. So the investments that we have proposed and the investments that we are in the process of making is to increase capacity in all these markets and take our capacity from 8.5 lakh TUs to close to about 12 lakh TUs, which will enable us to expand our volumes and grow at a rapid pace in the coming 2 to 3 years. In terms of timeline, the Kenfest facility, which is the second facility in Chennai, which is a strategic partnership that we have entered into, we expect to have business and volumes coming into ATL from Q1 calendar year, which is January to March time of 2025. Mundra, the land that we have acquired, this is outside the Adani SEZ. We expect to have the first phase of construction to be completed in the next 9 months to 12 months and business to start coming in from Q3 of FY26. The third expansion that you talked about is in JNPT, where we have taken additional land of about 25 acres. We are going through the process of getting the necessary customs notification for that, and we expect our business to happen in this expanded facility by March, April 2025. So that are the timelines. The last point that you had mentioned was about ICD Jhajjar. We would like the ICD Jhajjar project to be on stream and the first volumes to start coming in that facility from December 26, early January 27. So that's the timeline that we have. Currently, we are in the process of getting our access to the land and we have made the strategic investment in the HORCL project so that we have the best possible rail connectivity. I hope this answers your questions.
Sir, very much clear, sir, and thank you very much for your kind reply. So can I ask another question?
Yeah, please do.
Sir, I have another question is that the half-yearly result for the current year are as per our expectation or below expectation or over expectation. And a further point is that on DFC facility that we are going to start in future, when will DFC facility will start and how many advantages from this that facility we can receive? And sir, my last question, can I also add that or just clear these two questions first?
No, you can ask the last question also.
Okay, sir. My last question is that in past, from Al Cargo Group, that is logistic or terminal or whatever our company, we have given bonus in prior period or do we have any plan to give dividend and bonus share in future to our shareholders or any specific update on that? So that's all from my side, sir.
I think the first question was around the expectations.
Yeah, right. Half yearly results.
Yeah, for the half yearly results. So in this last two quarters or last few quarters, we would have seen that the volume has been increasing consistently. In the previous quarters, we had a very good volume and we were able to sustain this volume for the current quarter as well. Our revenue grew by 3% quarter on quarter, indicating that there is a better yield due to focused sales strategy. Gross margin also continued to go upward. And EBITDA also showed substantial improvement. So we in this quarter, we were able to cross the 2000 mark for TU EBITDA. The gross margin exceeded 33% and the EBITDA percentage was in excess of 17%. So the continued improvement in performance on account of sustained volume increase, operation efficiencies and better yield, that strategy of is successfully getting implemented, and because of that we are seeing significant improvement in profitability and we expect that this trend will continue in near future. So to answer your question, yes, the quarter and the half yearly results are as per expectation and as per the targets which management has set for the company.
Okay.
Yeah, I would like to add to what Preetham has nicely explained. We also estimate that our volume growth on a sequential quarter basis is slightly better than the market and a YOY basis clearly better than what the market has done. That's our estimation of how we have performed with regard to the market. The financial numbers were shared by Preetham. Your second question was regarding DFCC and what are our plans around it. As I have been maintaining in our investor calls, we have identified three stations on the DFCC route which are of greater interest to us other than the Farooknagar ICD project that we have. So whenever the bids for this are opened up by the government, we would like to participate in them. So that is our plan for the DFCC project. And the last question that you asked was about Holcargo dividends and shares. At this point in time, we don't have any comment to offer on that.
Okay, sir. No problem. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, sir. Now that is completed from my side. Do I need any functions to close my questions?
No, I think we have answered your questions. We request you to continue to stay on the call so that if there are other questions asked by others, you can take that information also.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much for your kind reply, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Participants who wish to ask a question to the management may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mehul Chawla from RW Equity. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Please go ahead.
Yeah, you can hear me, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I think thanks for taking the question and decent set of numbers given the macro environment. Wanted to check, one was on this fundraising plan of 500 crores. So is there any identified, it talks about growth capex, but is there any identified plan in terms of what it is going to be used for?
So in this project, in this board meeting, we took an in-principle approval to raise funds up to rupees 500 crores. I think in the while answering the previous call, we talked about various projects, upcoming projects, which includes Mundra land development, Farooknagar or Jajjar ICD MMLP plan, then Kansas CFS, JNPT extension. JNPT extension. All these projects are very important to us for the future growth strategy of Holcargo terminals. And these projects would require certain amount of capex in place as well as working capital investment. On that basis, we have done certain workings and we thought that we would require certain amount of funds for doing this expansion on a timely basis. As of now, we have taken just enabling approvals. We will take our next step and form up our plans in the next few months. And those plans would be accordingly discussed with the boards and further approvals would be taken. As of now, yes, we have taken enabling approval for
enabling approval.
Yeah, and that is against certain specific projects which we just discussed.
Yeah, and so is this now like a, is there like the kind of a change in strategy now in terms of going from our earlier more asset-light model to actually investing into assets that, like we've done already at Mundra and JNPT, that you would like prefer to own assets rather than go for the asset-light model. Is that the way forward or that strategy also continues in terms of looking at options like Speedy or other inorganic opportunities?
Yeah, so if you, I think it's a very well-directed question. Thank you.
Yeah.
In terms of our strategy, we continue to look at for opportunities which will keep asset-light model that we have been talking about in progress. And if you were to look at the expansion that we are talking about in Chennai, the partnership that we have gotten into, the additional land that we have taken on lease in JNPT, these are all part of the asset-light model and the asset-light plan that we have. In Mundra, we were able to identify land outside the Adani SEZ, which had come in at a fair value. And given the strategic importance of Mundra and the fact that a lot of competitors have land inside and outside the facility, the Adani SEZ, we decided to have this as part of ATL in Mundra. The ICD operations that we are talking about, the MMLP ICD operations in Farooknagar, will be an asset-light model largely because the land will continue to be taken on lease from from whoever has the land parcel in the identified area. So it is in continuation of the asset light strategy. I would like to modify this and say wherever there is a requirement which has a strategic fit, we will have assets of ourselves, which is like in Mundra, and therefore the asset light plus an asset right approach is what we are now embarking on.
Got it. And actually one more other thing, you know, since I mean, I think Mundra, what you said makes sense, because I mean earlier on the call also of Concor, their kind of commentary was that Mundra is kind of seeing a lot more strategic importance, and especially with the whole DFC getting up to JNPT shifted by a significant amount of time. But long term, do you see kind of more focus or traffic volumes coming into Mundra compared to JNPT, and probably JNPT slowing down, or both would kind of grow in line with the industry?
I think both will grow in line with the industry, and as industry watcher, you would be seeing the moves which have been made by the government to ensure that our GDP grows at a certain clip to ensure the aspirations of 5 trillion and becoming even larger. The capacity which is being built closer to JNPT in the form of the upcoming Vadhavan project only tells us that India needs a lot more capacity. So both Mundra and JNPT will continue to grow strongly, and then Vadhavan port is supposed to start by 2029-30. I think all this will be required if we are to talk about a 5 trillion economy and the ambitions that we have.
Got it. So I think that's it from my side. If there's anything else, I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you, Mehul.
Thanks.
The next question is from the line of Shaukat Ali from Monarch Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible. Good afternoon.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. One, I wanted to understand what kind of TEU volume that we are going to end this year, financial year. So far, we have been able to grow almost 3% over the first half. So where do you see this trajectory going forward over the next half of this year? And second question is, what is the perspective of buying a stake in Haryana or Vital Rail, and how it synergetically it fits in our perspective, and what kind of investment that we make there? If you can give some detail on the acquisition of a stake in that area.
Sure. So our H1 volumes, we talked about 318,000 TEUs, which was a 4% growth over previous year H1. We expect similar kind of growth going into H2. And if you were to look at how the market has been in between Q1 and Q2, Q1 there was significant growth, Q2 there's been a little bit of a tapering down, which I mentioned in my opening remarks saying in September the volumes seem to have tapered down a little. We expect this trend to continue for H2, and then we will continue to maintain our market share that we have been having in H1. So that's the outlook on volumes if I were to kind of indicate that. Your second question is with regard to HORCL strategic investment and how does it help us. The MMLP ICD project ATL is envisaging in Farooqnagar, Jhajjar is a very important one given the importance of Northern India to the overall GDP of the country and the DFCC project which is now nearing its completion. With the DFCC coming in, there will be a need for a lot more of ICD capacities along the DFCC, and the Farooqnagar Jhajjar project that we are talking about is in its proximity. The HORCL investment that we make, HORCL is providing the Haryana Orbital Rail. The HORCL investment is strategic to us because it will give us access to both Indian Railways and DFCC, and that will enable transit times to be best in class for any ICD MMLP in that area. So that is the reason why we believe the HORCL investment is important for our MMLP aspirations. And if you were to look at HORCL and the way in which it comes up, there is a Model Economic Township Limited, METL, in the area which houses a lot of industries, and these industries need to be connected to Mundra and JNPT, and the rail connectivity becomes extremely important and transit times can become a critical differentiator. We believe with the HORTL investment, we will be able to offer the best transit times and therefore offer greatest value for the customers in this very, very important catchment area.
What is the quantum investment that we made in that area? In HORTL?
In HORTL, we have picked up 7.6% stake, that is valued of at 138.7 crores. That's the investment into HORTL in the form of equity. Apart from that, whatever investment would be required in Farukh Nagar ICD, we are in the process of firming up our plans. Once that plans are there, we would be announcing those discussions. As of now, we don't have any numbers in terms of that.
Fair point. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Thank you, Shaukat.
The next question is from the line of Akash, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. My question is the EBITDA per ETU. Is it sustainable at this level or do you see it going up from here?
Yeah. Again, if you are watching our results over the last 3-4 quarters, there's been a steady strengthening of our EBITDA per TU.
Okay.
And we believe that 2,000-2,100 level is the aspiration that we wanted. I think 3 quarters back at the time in which we were listing, we have talked about it saying that we would like the EBITDA per TU to be in the range of 2,000 to 2,100, and we would like to be industry leading when it comes to EBITDA per TU. Due to the efforts in the last 3 quarters on various fronts, which Preetham also alluded to in terms of yield management and cargo, we have been able to get to that at this level, and we expect this to remain around this mark in the foreseeable short-term future.
Okay, thank you. And my another question is, sir, are you witnessing any consolidation overall in the CFS?
Yeah, good question again. I think as industry watchers, you would know that there are close to about 155 CFSs across the country. And these are at various stages of maturity, growth, and different kinds of partnerships and models exist. We have reliable market information which goes around, which says that there are operators who would, CFS operators who are looking at moving out for various reasons. So we believe that there could be consolidation which will assist serious national footprint operators like us, because this will ensure that pricing, which has always been a pressure point, could start stabilizing earlier than expected. So early signs of consolidation are visible, which is good for the industry, which is good for players who have a long-term stake in the business, and we look forward to that happening.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket from RV Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, good afternoon. We can hear you.
Just wanted to know about the revenue guidance and the further industry outlook.
Can you please repeat? You are not audible. Revenue?
Revenue guidance and further industry outlook.
Revenue guidance and further industry outlook.
Yeah. So, we explained about the current quarter results, and we are expecting that the volumes and the trend which in terms of profitability which we have seen, we are expecting that to continue. Apart from that, Sanket, we don't give any specific guidance on these calls, and we won't have any comments to offer around that.
Okay, what about the industry outlook?
About the industry, as I mentioned in my preamble, 7.6% GDP growth is what is projected for India this year, and that is slightly lower than the previous year. But then if you were to look at volumes, the expectation based on H1 is that kind of volumes is likely to come.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Sanket?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kumar from Determine Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir. Just one question. When do you expect this Haryana Rail Orbital, rail line to start? And, what is the progress on our Jhajjar ICD also, if you can just sort of give us some sense?
Yes, so Jhajjar ICD, I briefly mentioned, we expect to go on stream with the first phase towards the end of 2026, December 2026, early 2027. The HORCL project is scheduled for completion by 2027, and the connectivity for the land that we will have the MMLP ICD will be available by March, April 2026.
I'm sorry, so the, land availability, you're talking talking about the ICD or the railway line itself?
The ICD needing rail connectivity, I'm talking about that connectivity to the MMLP ICD is expected to be available by March, April 2026.
Understood. Thank you. That's it. Somebody.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mehul Savla from RW Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the reconnect. Just want to check this Haryana investment that we made, does it give us any preferred access or concession for our project? Or, what is like the payback or, how much stake is required for you to be part of this whole setup? Hello. Hello.
So, Mehul, to answer your question, this investment was done by All Cargo Logistics.
Okay.
2020. And this investment is bought by All Cargo Terminals from All Cargo Logistics. And this investment has ensured that the rail line, which is being Haryana Orbital Rail Corridor, being designed is along the land which All Cargo Terminals has secured for its ICD and MMLP.
Okay.
All Cargo Logistics has transferred its ICD and related business to All Cargo Terminals during demerger. And the interest in this particular project are with All Cargo Terminals and not to All Cargo Logistics. So it's logical that to see this project through to ensure that this project completes as per timelines, All Cargo Terminals has taken to this project, and so that All Cargo Terminals can monitor this project along with HORC. So that's the rationale for All Cargo Terminals to pick up this stake. And basically, this investment has ensured that All Cargo, the land which All Cargo has secured for ICD and MMLP development has that rail line access, which will give strategic advantage to All Cargo ATL in terms of the connectivity.
So, like without this stake, you would not have been able to get the rail access, is it?
That would not be in a way that we require. It would have been. Through already congested Indian railway line, wherein technically it would have been very difficult to operate a rail.
Okay.
There were a lot of operational issues would have been faced in terms of engine reversal and other things. However, by way of having a direct connectivity with HORC, it has been ensured that through HORC we get connected directly to the DFC, dedicated freight corridor. So whenever this project is live, the ICD through HORC will get directly connected to dedicated freight corridor.
So in terms of like the investment, or if the return on the investment is essentially like more like a business enabler, there is financially there is no benefit. It's like more of a strategic stake which enables you to have a good location and connectivity and hence get more business or better margins or whatever to because of the good connectivity. Is that the way to look at it?
Yeah, that's the way to look at it.
Oh, okay. Thanks. That's all.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Hello, thank you. I would like to thank everyone for attending the call and for the questions. I hope we have been able to give you the necessary information. Thank you for your continued support and your interest in All Cargo Terminals' growth and progress. The last three quarters, we have been on an upward trajectory. We have laid the foundations for our expansion for the coming 2 to 3 years in the first half of the year, and we look forward to the coming quarter and the half year with optimism. Wishing you all a very happy Diwali. Thank you.
On behalf of All Cargo Terminals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.